The voice of the Blue Bombers one-on-one with Mike O'Shea. The Pro-Line Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
The Coaches Show is brought to you by DeKalb. They are ready to be your number one canola seed. The number is 204-780-6868. Your texts and calls for the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Bombers on to the bye week. Unfortunately, it was once again predicated by the loss to the Hamilton Tiger Cats in Hamilton. That for the second straight year. Send me all your questions. You can also reach out to me on Twitter, as many of you already had, at 204-780-6868. He is the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Mike, thanks for being with us on a Monday. Now that you had time to digest it, what do you make of the game in Hamilton on Saturday?
Well, once again, just wasn't good enough. Certainly, we've got to find some consistency, I think, moving forward. Our team is good enough. And then, you know, you have a game like this, especially leading into a bye, it's tough. It doesn't make for, you know, an easy week to try and give your mind a rest, right? Your just mind just keeps going. But I think in all three phases, you know, we just weren't able to get it done. You know, we fall 6 points short. Special teams, we obviously could make up those 6 points. Defensively, we need to get off the field. And offensively, we end up turning the ball over a little bit. Still, offensively, we had some great shots downfield. You know, we made some plays. Probably just needed to have the ball a little more, you know, if we could have turned the ball back to the offense a little more, probably could have broke through there.
Is there anything to how the team is playing into a bye week? You guys lose this week, the earlier bye, you beat Edmonton going into it, but then every bye last season, the Bombers lost going into that bye week. Is there anything to that, do you believe?
I don't. I really don't. There's nothing in our practice week that says the guys are taking it easy or their minds are somewhere else. There's nothing in the warm-up that says that. I don't think we played with enough juice, enough physicality in the first half. And I thought it picked up in the second, but, you know, we just didn't overcome that little bit of a deficit. But no, I don't put a lot of stock into, outcomes from previous years. We look at, you know, we look at all this stuff all the time, right? Mm. So I don't think there's anything palpable, anything visible throughout the week that any of our coaches are seeing that says, hey, this is a possibility here.
Is there ever, I don't know if upon reflection or leading, like in the day leading up to the game, or if you're able to explain or expect why the team wouldn't be physical enough or be out physical? It was what you used in the post game show. Is there ever any reason why you see why that is?
If you see that stuff, if any of our coaches see that stuff, it gets talked about, right?
And yeah. Remedied.
I just thought a little defensively, we were a little tentative, you know, we were, I'm not saying content, but we were playing, you know, it's okay if they catch the ball in front of us, you know, and we'll come up and make the tackle rather than, you know, hammering up there and challenging for the football and, you know, taking a couple of those chances. But
okay.
It seemed a little tentative that way. Once again, if we get off the field a little sooner, a few times, I think the game's a different ending.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's welcome in some callers, and we've got your texts as well. Again, 204-780-6868, your questions for the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Harry joins us on line number one. Harry, thank you for being with us. You're with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, good evening, guys. Well, coach, I was the first caller last week, and I ended my conversation with you by saying, keep your guard up. And I see that you guys did not. So yeah. I was very disappointed with the result that Hamilton did out physical us. But my question for you is, and I've sort of seen a disturbing trend, and this started from I would say about the middle of last year, and that Zach Collaros has been throwing far too many interceptions in the last while. Now, like I say, last year, about the middle of last year, he started throwing a few picks at each game. And this year he's already picked a couple of games now. He's thrown three interceptions. So to me, that's a bit of a disturbing trend. What do you think?
I'm not disturbed by it, obviously. He's the best quarterback in the league. He's been a terrific leader for us. He's won so many games and a couple championships, to his credit, with a great team around him, too. I'm sure he'd like to have a throwback, but a couple of those were tip balls, too, right? So, and then scrambling if you some of them are under duress. But, no, I'm not concerned. The competitor in Zach says that he's going to be way harder on himself than anybody else could ever be.
Well, I understand Zach has done what he's done for us, and I don't take that away from Zach bringing a couple championships to us. But I'm just, to me, it's a disturbing trend when I see he has his great game. He had his great game against Saskatchewan, of course, and this game here, he was off, and it's something I don't like. So just that's what I expressed. Thanks.
I can promise you this, Harry. He doesn't like it either. Yeah. So you guys are like-minded in that regard.
I feel a little better. Yeah, I understand that. And I hope Zach comes back with next two games against Toronto and BC with a vengeance.
Yeah, don't ever doubt it.
Harry, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate you being with us at 204-780-6868. Coach, I'm hoping to ask you about one of those interceptions that Zach threw, because as I try to process what a football player is going through, the interception that Malik Kearney made, for folks who may not remember, he was lined up at left defensive end. He I guess, replaces a linebacker and drops in zone coverage and runs all the way over to the right side of the field to make a pick. And I guess I'm just wowed that is a play that a football player can make. Is that a special play? Is that an ordinary play? I don't know how to describe it, just because I don't know football like football players do.
Yeah, I think that's something that would be hard to see. I'm sure Zach understood the play and where he needed to go, and then somebody shows up in the picture that's not supposed to be there. It's got to be challenging, right? I mean, that was like you described it. It's a pretty good play.
Yeah, I was just blown away about, what teams, and Jackson Jeffcoat does drops like that. He had a pick in a BC game last year where you go, man, defensive ends, the right defensive end in this league can do so many different things beyond just rushing the passer.
Well, if the quarterback starts on the other side of the field, they're not going to, as they come back to an outlet, a second or a third choice, a second or a third read, they're not expecting somebody like that to be there.
Yeah, and I don't know half what's going through Zach's head during the game, because I couldn't possibly, have near the foundation. I felt sympathy for him and all the other quarterbacks on that one, because I don't even know what you do with that. 204-780-6868. Bob and Peter and Barry will come to you on the other side of the break if you will stick with us on the Coach's Show on 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
Coach Show is brought to you by DeKalb. Right now, save up to $50 a bag on DeKalb canola seed. Terms and conditions apply. 204-780-6868 for your texts and calls for the head coach, Mike O'Shea, or in this case, even for me. This one from Ken says, hey, DT, do you think it's a done deal when the Argos come to town? We'll see limited action from their starters, given the fact they've already won the East. Can I be surprised if they do it this soon? But it certainly does give them a ton of opportunities. And I would certainly, fingers crossed, hope there is a ton of Andrew Harris, more carries than he would normally get in a game when they come to town. But I think with six games left, the rest would be pretty tough on them. Jason is on the text line. He's got a couple questions for the coach. Mike, Jason asks, why didn't you call a timeout at the end of the first half when Hamilton was punting with 48 seconds left? Jason adds, it seems like an obvious move.
I'd already used my challenge, so I lost a timeout when I lost the challenge. You're carrying one. So if I use it there, I got nothing left in the second half.
Yeah.
That seems pretty obvious to me.
If you hadn't used the challenge, is that if you hadn't lost, hadn't used the timeout already, is that a spot where you'd think about it for sure?
Possibly, yep.
Okay. And then Jason asks, how about giving Johnny Augustine a shot at returns? Jason points out that Johnny is elusive.
Yeah, you know what? As a kick returner, we would have no problem with that. But we use him as a off returner / lead blocker in that situation. So if they kick the ball cross field, there's a chance Johnny's going to get it. He got one this past week, right, when they kicked the ball short cross field. So he ended up picking up the kickoff return. Punt returning is a different animal, right? So the way the ball flies is obviously extremely different between a punt and a kickoff. I'm not saying Johnny can't do it. It's just we've got other guys that can, for sure.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines and welcome in. Bob is with us on line number two. Bob, thanks for sticking with us. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Okay, well, to your last comment, Coach, for sure, I hope you have opened your eyes and seen that Parker is not the guy. He was terrible. His average returns were absolutely terrible. Put McCray back in there, or put the guy who you put onto the reserve or whatever, to put Parker in there. I called you about Parker after his first game. You said, and almost quoting you, well, he's a young guy, he's learning. He's going backwards, not forward.
He was very good the following game.
But he was terrible this game and just can't do it.
I would not say that. I would not say terrible.
Well, 5.6 on punt returns, I believe that's what was in the paper. You know, I'm sure you've got people who can do it better than that. And also, very disappointed in Castillo. He partly lost us the game because the missed convert that ran back for two, and then the missed field goal, there was another point. 3 points off of them, 3 points onto us, we've got a tie game. And I'm afraid that now you've got no choice but to win out all four games, because looking at BC, they've got a real easy schedule compared to the Bombers, because you've got, of course, Toronto, and Harris is out to prove a point, as was our ex-punter place kicker, who showed us who was better. And then,
Bob.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
Well, I'll tell you.
As I said to a previous caller, no one's more disappointed than our guys. Sergio Castillo is obviously very disappointed. He'd like to perform better for his teammates, more so than perform for himself. He'd like to perform better for his teammates. And I think that's a real stretch to say that.
Well,
I think the stats show that that's not the case. So.
Yeah, but I think Coach, the thing is that two out of three games, and in those two games that we lost, they brought their D game. They've got to bring their A-plus games for the next four to be able to be secure first place. Otherwise,
that's not in question.
Yeah,
I mean, they all understand that.
Well,
everybody on the team understands no matter your record or anything about what people talk about of your team, your roster on paper and like that, if you don't show up and play, there's a good chance you're going to lose. That's pro sport in general. If you don't show up on the day and play your best, there's a good chance you're going to lose. And so, you know, we've seen that a couple times this year.
And I know that you like to hold things close to your vest. Any possibility at all that we just might see Janarian Grant for the next four games? Or is he hurt that badly that we can't see him?
All right, Bob, we'll let the coach answer. I appreciate you being with us. We got a bunch of callers lined up.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Very much appreciate you being with us at 204-780-6868. Coach, Janarian Grant, possibly?
I'm not going to say when, but you'll see him again before the end of the season, for sure.
I like that a lot. All right, let's welcome in Barry is with us on line number four. Barry, thank you for your call. You're with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I just want to say every loss is disappointing. I'm glad we have such passionate fans in Winnipeg, whether, you know, it doesn't matter what team, what sport. I mean, every team can lose. Just shows Zach and Sergio and the whole gang, they're all just human. You guys have gone on such a run for the last few years. It's hard to believe some of the losses we've had. But like I said, you guys are just human. We do appreciate what you do out there. I'd just like to mention that it's great to see some of the new upcoming quarterbacks in the league. I mean, there's teams that have been out to kill quarterbacks, and we won't say what color they were. But I'd just like to hear the coach's opinion on some of the new young quarterbacks.
Yeah, listen, I appreciate your comment earlier. I mean, there is the human element to you know, every sporting contest. And I think that's what makes it so fascinating. And I think that's what makes it so interesting for fans to watch, because you never really are guaranteed of an outcome, right? Which is,
exactly.
You got to go play the game no matter what. That's why we play the game, because the outcome is not guaranteed. Despite what your roster may look like or the guys you have with you. But so I do appreciate that comment. With regards to the quarterbacks in the league, the young ones, it is pretty impressive for a few of them, you know, be thrust in that position where they're, you know, maybe coming out of camp as the third, and now they're the second, now they're the first, right? And they take a couple games and, you know, I think Powell is a good example. He's played pretty clean football and delivered on a game plan, you know, that was sort of tailor-made to keep games tight, and he's done very well with it. And, you know,
yeah, the league needs him.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line. And I, you know, with these young guys, the league needs that. Absolutely. So, you know, park my Bombers hat for a second and put on my CFL fan hat. And
exactly. We need parity in the league, or there is no league.
Right. You need these guys to come up and develop. Whether they're number one the next year, who knows? But now they've got a lot of experience as a two, if they're not the number one. And it just allows teams to stay in games when a guy goes down. And as we've seen over the last bunch of years, guys end up going down.
No doubt. We need depth at every position. Yep. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate you being with us at 204-780-6868. We will take a break for the news. Stick with us, David and Dorian and Gary and Steve. We're coming to you on the other side. It's the Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
The Coaches Show brought to you by DeKalb. They are ready to be your number one canola seed. 204-780-6868 is your direct line to the coach. You want to call, you want to text, you want to tweet me at DT on OB. We would love to have you join us. Coach O'Shea, random stat I'll throw at you before we get back to the phone lines. Did you know that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have been involved in the last four consecutive defensive two-point converts? Four in a row.
No, I did not.
There was this week's Tyreek McAllister, Terry Williams in the playoff last year. Janarian Grant had the one before that. And then Chandler Fenner had a return for a two-point convert. So
yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Do you? I have zero memory of that one. Does it stick out for you?
Well, I do remember that he got one.
Okay.
I kind of want to think it was off a block, though.
It was, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just a...
Well,
and
that's good.
There have been
this last one wasn't good. Well, it must have been
not as good since the 2015 season. There have been seven in the Canadian Football League. And just oddly enough, the Bombers have been involved in the last four of them. On Twitter, Bat Big C says, I'll preface this by saying I realize the Bombers are 10-4. But what does it say about the defense, he asks, when three of the four losses are against quarterbacks like Dustin Crum, Jake Dolagala, and Taylor Powell? I presume he means young, relatively new guys like those three.
I don't think you can read much into it. You know, I thought Powell did a nice job, obviously, protecting the football. He had that one giveaway. They were down deep in scoring position. He threw the ball. It was probably a throw he'd like to have back. But other than that, he was pretty clean. You know, it's you'd like to force them to make more mistakes, but where they're throwing the ball, it just there wasn't really a real lot of opportunities to force the issue for them. You know, so.
Yeah, the one interception by Evan Holm in the end zone, beautifully done by him to help keep the game going. Ultimately, I came away super impressed with Taylor Powell in this one. Let's welcome in Dorian on line three. Dorian, appreciate you sticking with us. You're on the head coach. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey guys, pleasure to talk to you. Just a couple comments. To be the team, you got to beat the team, and you guys are the team. Especially for the last five seasons. I really think that there's a lot of other teams that it's really special when we're coming into their barn. It's special for their fans. They know we're the top team. They're probably combing through film on us, looking for anything that they can get on us. And I really do feel like our play lately is helping other players and other teams sharpen their pencils when we're coming to town, which is just better for the league and better for everybody that watches the game. And it's not that long ago that, you know, these comments would be completely 180, and I don't forget what it was like. And I'll take a couple missed field goals and a couple pick sixes any day in September over October. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, it's not easy to obviously we don't spend a lot of time talking like that. But, you know, in this forum, I'll agree with you. Better now, you know.
Yeah.
Better now. And I do think our guys are, you know, they are a hardened group. We do get everybody's best. And we just got to do a better job of being more consistent like we have at other times. But I'll take these learning experiences right now for sure.
All right. Let's welcome in. Gary is with us on line number two. Gary, thank you so much for hanging around. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, you got a good time for a break, coach. 28 degrees tomorrow. I hope you're somewhere where you can go fishing or something, relax. I've got a question about the missed single convert. It puzzles me when, you know, on the miss, I have no problem with the miss because that's sports. But why does the kicking team run full bore down the field when the return means nothing other than you don't want them to go all the way? Wouldn't it be better maybe to send one guy down and hold off? Because if he comes to you, you can swarm him and make sure he's tackled. I just don't understand that situation.
Yeah, we do have a set coverage system that we run, that we practice, you know, every single week. That what you have a hard time practicing is the other team's return system. Who they block, who they double team. You know, you're not going to spend a lot of time double teaming big old linemen if they're not able to move downfield and make a play, right? So you're generally, in that play, you're outnumbered. There's usually at least two, possibly three double teams against your guys that are really the cover guys that are on that unit. So it is a real advantage for the return team if you miss. And we plan as such on both sides of it, right? If we've got our field goal return team out there, you're planning on a miss and you believe wholeheartedly that, that you've got an advantage out there.
Yeah. I just think, you know, we've given up, I believe, two so far this year. Yeah, so it's of some concern, you know, when we get to the playoffs, something like that could be the difference between winning and losing a big game.
That was a 3-point swing right there. That's
yeah.
That's
I hope
momentum
you
also, right?
About a honey-do list.
Pardon me.
What?
I says I hope you don't. Your honey-do list from your wife isn't very long, so you can enjoy some of the week.
she's fantastic. I got a wonderful wife that
enjoy the week.
Allows me to do this.
I'm looking forward to a beatdown of Toronto.
Let's do it.
Hallelujah. Praise. I love that idea, Gary. Thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate you joining us at 204-780-6868. Coach, while we're talking about the kicking game, we talked about it a bit in the post-game show, but for folks who weren't with us, you ended up kicking off in both halves of the game. You had the decision in the third quarter. What led to you choosing an end for the fourth quarter instead of the ball, say, in the third quarter?
Yeah, we won the toss. We deferred to the second because the wind, they took the ball. We decided to kick into the wind to start the game. So that we would have the wind in the longer quarter, the second quarter, with the last 3 minutes being a stop time sort of situation, right? You can run more plays in the last 3 minutes of the halves. And then we come out, the forecast says the wind's going to pick up a little more as the game goes on. And it was, I mean, Tim Hortons Field is always a little windy. You know, it was blowing straight down the pipe, and we thought it would be an advantage if you got a, you know, if it's a tight game. I think we went in the half down by six and ended up losing by six. And we thought, okay, if it comes down to some field goals, you'd like the win behind your field position. You punt them into a bad spot, come up with a stop, and now you're sort of in field goal range when you, you know, get the return possibly. And then the wind sort of died a little bit, but, you know, that wasn't going to be the issue. I don't know. I don't have the stats in front of me, Derek. Did we end up one possession behind?
Oh, I'd have to pull that up. I could pull it up during the break.
I don't put a lot of stock in those possessions because we got another possession right at the end of the half, right?
Yep.
So, you know, we drove down and didn't end up getting the field goal and you end up getting the points. But I just firmly believe that it's, with our team, if you can control, if the wind dictates, you know, and you can control field position for the fourth quarter or the second and the fourth quarter, those are longer quarters, right? You're going to get more opportunities.
Yeah, they're for folks who as Coach says, the second to fourth are longer. They're essentially 18-minute quarters, if you think about it. The number of plays that get run in those final 3 minutes are a little more than double in a regular minute of play. And I say that as I try to pull up the drive charts from the game, but I am going to have to do that during the... Oh, here we go. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 versus 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12... 13 to 12. Ty Cats had one more drive.
Yeah, you end up with one more drive, but
yeah,
it's what you do with it, right? I mean, it's not like they're getting three more drives.
Yeah, the one question we kind of had was, oh, does the momentum of if they give up a score, speaking of the Bombers, if you give up a score to start that third quarter, well, now you're in a two score hole versus the potential you could have been tied and the feel that it could have been a totally different feel to the game, giving the ball versus taking the ball.
Yeah, of course, you take that chance. I mean, the bottom line is when you decide to kick off in the second half, you do have to stop them. Right, you got to come out and stop them.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's, but you're going to have to anyway. When you're behind in any game, at some point you're going to have to generate a takeaway or a quick stop, right, to get them off the field a few times, get your offense more possessions.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah. You got those stops down the stretch and got the score, and then just the final drive just did not quite go. Rashid had a tough ball on second down, and things didn't quite go your way on that final drive.
Yeah, the sack, and then the you know, we're right there, right? We have a chance at the ball. Basically, we would have been about a yard and a half, 2 yards shy, I think, if we make that. So then you're trotting Dakota out and you're going. Mm-hmm. And then you got a real chance, right? And that it didn't work out. You're behind the sticks after first down, and it's a tough one. Even if with a little more time on the clock, even though you got no timeouts left, you might think about punting there. So if there was 2 minutes left, you might think about punting it and then seeing what happens next.
Yeah,
but that timing is real iffy when you don't have a timeout. They get one first down, it's over.
Yeah, it's hard. The comebacks are difficult, but you guys almost got there. 7:45, we'll go back to break. Gregory and Rick, you're next up on the other side if you'll stick with us for the Coach's Show on 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coach's Show on 680 CJOB.
Coach, the show brought to you by DeKalb. Right now, save up to $50 a bag on DeKalb canola seed. Terms and conditions apply. Quick text in from Gary, who says, Coach, wants to know about having more defensive ends on the active roster. He says, it appears they're more tired at the end of the game, speaking of Willie and Jeff Coat, this year than last year. And in this last game, Willie had no stats. Why not have more defensive ends on the active roster?
Yep, that's one of the things we're obviously battling with. Jackson, you know, was not available to us for this game. Haba comes back on. Obviously, you know, it's really hard to be in game shape. You know, he's declared fit. It's just, it's really hard to mimic, you know, a game. You can do all the running you want. It's really hard to get guys leaning on you. It's hard to pick yourself up off the ground every single play and feel that you're ready. They can't just do that in practice. You know, right now, you know, we've been liking Damian Jackson as a guy who can play all three phases for us. Right. So, we've got guys that are on the sixth game that'll be coming back and this is the way we've had our roster. And I think this game, it just showed with Jackson being out that, yeah, you got to rethink it sometimes, but Damian Jackson's done well for us. I think the game before he stepped in a defensive end and drew a holding penalty, should have had a sack, but the tackle or the D lineman or the offensive lineman had to hold him to stop him from getting a sack. So, you know, we'll keep rolling him around and seeing what our best roster looks like next week.
What I heard in there is that, and what I infer from there is, I'm waiting as a fan. I'm waiting for T'Adrick Hansen to be back. T'Adrick coming off sixth game eventually here, Coach, maybe, huh?
He's been working really hard. Yeah, we'll see how everything goes. It's hard to predict how things go. I mean, we didn't expect to lose Jackson Jeffcoat on a day three either. So.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go to the phone lines and get into Gregory. Gregory, appreciate you hanging around with us. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, just making sure. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Love it.
I know. I know that you're a special teams guru and stuff. I saw a wicked of a special teams play last Sunday night in Foxborough, Massachusetts, between the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots, involving a crazy setup of a block field goal maneuver. Did you see it?
I have not yet. I promise you I will. It will be something that Paul Boudreau will definitely show me.
I'll probably play DT on OB and probably color your picture here. Let's just say a New England Patriot was running parallel to the line of scrimmage, full blast. Ball gets hiked to the holder, and then that Patriot basically flies in unimpeded, blocked the field goal.
Yeah, it was an incredible play, wasn't it, Gregory?
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, I will say if DT knows your email address, I will say DM you DT, and probably you could email it to O'Shea.
I can find it. I can get access to it anytime. I'll get access to it.
Yeah, it was a blocked field goal. New England down 17-3, and yeah, just running straight down the line, and he had. Whatever it was, the kickers, he had the kickers routine down pat. He knew exactly when to go. The edge blocker had no idea what to do with this guy running full speed. And just, he blocked it essentially with like his chest. He was there so fast, Coach. Yeah, it was great.
I was kind of surprised that this field goal block routine is not in the CFL or even in lower football, like U sports football or even Canadian high school football and stuff.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, Gregory, thanks for your call. Appreciate you. Coach, you'll like it when you see it, I believe.
I'm sure I will. I can picture it. We have tried that with some success against a punt. I'm pretty sure we blocked a punt with that same sort of setup. Why it's never been done on a field goal is interesting. And I'm sure it will be done more often now.
Yeah, absolutely. As I think whoever was on the call said, every special teams coach now is going to start practicing this in the NFL. It was a heck of a play. Rick is with us. Rick, we got about 3 minutes left in the show. Thank you for sticking with us. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, thanks, guys. Disappointing loss again, but it's also kind of coincidental that Jackson Jeffco seems to be, off the games, some of these games, and have some of these losses. Coach, with you being on the rules committee and that, I have a couple of questions on that. I noticed this year that the command center has actually interjected a few times in different games, saying, look at this or you missed that. Is there any chance that possibly command center could actually, with their viewpoint, actually catch some of the calls that the officials on the field miss? Because obviously they're human, they can't see 100% of everything. But, there's some obvious play, obvious calls that are sometimes missed. And, maybe the command center could actually have a little bit more input to the head ref and say, hey, this maybe should be looked at, or is that something that makes any sense to you guys?
Yeah, we've done that. As you noted, the command center's gotten involved a little more often, a little more frequently this year on plays that weren't challenged. And their mandate is to, fix some obvious ones without it needing to be challenged. If you see there was a ball caught by Duke Williams in a playoff game last year against us, or 2 years ago, one of the two. I think it was last year.
21.
Hit the ground. Yeah, 21 was it?
21 West Final. Yeah, it was absolutely not a catch.
Hit the ground. And for it to, that those are the ones that they want the command center to just step in and say, it's not a catch. for some reason, mechanically, the official's positioning, something happened, some sort of distraction, whatever it was, it got missed. And it's clearly everybody in the TV audience understands, everybody in the stadium understands that it was not a catch. Just fix it. Right? Yeah, we've been given some more power on certain plays, too, in terms of misconducts and those type of penalties, where the officials on the field can't absolutely keep track of all of it, right? So they're the eye in the sky, and they fix a lot of that stuff.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. I was a little bit, actually quite puzzled about the Lawler catch that, you had to throw the challenge on. That actually, it looks pretty damn obvious that was a catch.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, he caught it and squeezed it above his head before he hit the ground. And then, his hand hit the ground before, the ball was between both hands. And why they didn't turn that over, that's certainly a puzzling to me.
Rick, that was a puzzlement to us in the booth as well. Appreciate you joining us. We've got to bail out and hit the break. Appreciate you with us, Rick. Coach, enjoy your bye week. We'll talk to you next Monday. Hopefully you get some good relaxing in.
Get some time with my family. Can't wait.
There you go. He's the head coach, Mike O'Shea. The Coach's Show on 680 CJOB.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.